We were finally ready to have a quiet week for stocks. Trade had moved to the background, interest rate hikes were off the table, and earnings season was basically over. And then a Boeing plane tragically crashed in Ethiopia, throwing one of the world's largest industrial companies into disarray. In recent days, we've had less of a stock market and more of a Boeing market. I'm Alex Yule. Welcome to The Readback. Today, I'm joined by senior writer Al Root, who covers industrial companies for Barron's and spent the last week furiously writing about Boeing. Hey, Al.
Hi, Alex.
It felt like we couldn't get away from Boeing last week in terms of the headlines, both at Barron's.com and everywhere else you read, on financial publications, on mainstream publications. This was a story that had relevance to everybody.
Breaking news, an Ethiopian Airlines jet with 157 people on board has crashed.
Several aviation websites have identified the plane as a new 737 MAX 8, the same plane that crashed in Indonesia in October, killing 189 people.
The European Aviation Safety Agency has now grounded the 737 MAX airplanes from flying in European airspace.
We're going to be issuing an emergency order of prohibition to ground all flights of the 737 MAX 8. And the 737 MAX 9.
On Sunday, the U.S. newspaper, The Wall Street Journal, revealed federal prosecutors and the U.S. Department of Transportation officials are investigating the development of Boeing 737 MAX jetliners.
What kind of plane is the 737 MAX, just for folks out there who keep hearing about it and might not quite understand its importance to the industry?
So the 737 MAX, it's a single aisle aircraft. This is the kind of plane that you fly from New York to Chicago. It makes up 80% of the backlog of Boeing, not on a value basis, but on a units basis. Between the 737 and Airbus's competing product called the A320, these are the most popular planes in the world.
You take a step back, though. Boeing shares are down 12% at this point since the crash, at least at the time of this recording. So that's bad, but it's not existential crisis bad for Boeing. Why hasn't the stock fallen further?
I think the answer lies in the structure of the commercial aerospace industry. If you look at commercial aircraft, there's only two makers. There's only about 20,000 planes that fly us around the world. We only deliver, you know, between 1,000 and 2,000 of these a year. It's about 50-50 between Boeing and Airbus. These are low volume, incredibly high-priced, incredibly complicated machines that take months to produce. If you contrast that with our other primary mode of transportation, if you contrast that with cars, there's 1.5 billion cars on the road. They're made by countless automakers. And take the Model 3 from Tesla. If that turned out to be a real dog, if it just wasn't selling, if Consumer Reports didn't like it, there would be any number of car companies that would try to fill the gap for a low-priced,
right,
all-electric sedan, and it would be an existential crisis for Tesla. Its stock would get crushed in all likelihood, and analysts would abandon the stock. Go back to the commercial aerospace industry. There's two producers, incredibly long lead times. They'll deliver these planes for 30, 40 years. No analysts are downgrading Boeing because of the crash. Obviously, there's a human cost, but they just don't see major changes to the industry because of its structure. There is potential new competition for Boeing and Airbus on the horizon. The Chinese authorities have plans to produce a commercial airliner. It's probably 10 years away, and it will probably be produced in partnership with some of the existing aerospace makers.
Okay. And let's step back a little bit. I think some of these dynamics probably tell the story about Boeing's stock over the last decade or so. But this thing has been a real winner for investors, right? Give us a sense of the backdrop leading into this tragic event. I mean, how has Boeing done for portfolios?
So Boeing it's just been a tremendous stock. In some respects, it's the largest industrial company in America. It might be the largest industrial company in the world. For the last 10 years, the stock has returned, on average, 33% a year.
Wow.
That's nearly double what the Dow Jones Industrial Average has done. It's done about 17% a year. So the industry has been a tremendous winner for investors. And the reason is a couple-fold. more people are flying around the world. It's China all over again. The number of people on planes is growing between 6 and 7%, has been for more than a decade. And if you go back to 2004 and you looked at Boeing's commercial aircraft backlog, it had about 3 years of planes ordered in backlog. Okay. And analysts would write—
basically the waiting list.
Yeah, the waiting list. And people would write reports, oh, you know, we're going into a downturn. People are going to cancel orders. You know, Boeing's earnings and share price are going to be impacted. Maybe you should think about selling the stock. Today, if you look at the backlogs for Airbus and Boeing, they have about 7 years of production in backlog, or 7 years is the wait list. And so it's just a totally different industry. It's become much more stable, and you get a lot less analyst reports about, oh, what happens if planes get canceled. Analysts now typically just take a look at the growth in commercial air traffic, and if it's in that 5 or 6% range, they say to themselves, you know what, just stick with Boeing stock.
So this is fascinating to me. You have these two companies, Boeing and Airbus, that really dominate airplane making. It's a hugely important industry if you think about it. It affects the way we live. It affects the way we travel. And yet it seems like in the eyes of investors, they can do no wrong. Is that true?
I don't know if they can do no wrong, but again, I think that industry structure plays a large role. We don't deliver that many planes. These are huge purchases made by corporations that are planning capacity 7 and 10 years out into the future. They'll have secondary lives in cargo markets. And if you think about it in terms of duration or length of the life of the asset, you know, these problems being resolved over 6 or 12 months don't really impact the entire duration of the life of the asset or the planning process for an airline or the planning process for Boeing, per se.
Right, right. What can we learn from recent history that should guide our thinking around the latest grounding of the 737?
Planes have been grounded in the past. In 1989, DC-10s that were manufactured by McDonnell Douglas were grounded after a crash in the U.S. That grounding lasted about a month while they made changes to maintenance procedures and things of that nature. The 787, Boeing's all-new, completely redesigned composite plane that started service around 2011 and 2012, that was grounded for a period of time in 2013 after it had problems with its lithium-ion batteries that had actually caught fire on some Japanese flights.
No one died there.
Obviously, very important that there was no human cost, but those planes were grounded for a period of weeks as well while Boeing figured it out and made the appropriate fix.
And Boeing stock kind of just kept going up right through those?
With the 787 grounding, you can almost not detect where it happened on the stock chart.
And what kind of effect did that have on flyers? Are people now flying the 787? Are there still worries about it?
I remember when covering the problems of the 787, it was delayed. It was late by a couple of years. It had these problems early in its service life. There were questions. People were saying, is this plane really going to be successful? Is Boeing, you know, rushing this plane to market? Is it safe? I remember some of these questions, but largely we don't ask these questions any longer. The plane has been in service for years and it's had a good service history and a good safety record, and nobody talks about that anymore. Again, the aircraft maker customers, the airlines, they aren't incented in any sort of nefarious way to support Boeing and Airbus, but they have a big incentive to promote safety. Southwest Airlines has already released a statement saying, you know, we've flown tens of thousands of flights with the 737 MAX. We've encountered zero problems. American Airlines came out with a very similar statement. And absolutely, they mean it. Or I believe that they mean it. They will prioritize safety above all else because that trust of you're going to get from point A to point B is all that matters ultimately.
All that they have, right.
For the airline.
I wanted to talk about Southwest because I think they're pretty interesting in this story. But basically, Southwest only flies 737s. They made a decision a long time ago that it was easier to maintain a fleet of aircraft if it was all the same plane. I know they have some 737 MAXs in their fleet, and they've, of course, grounded those. There again, Southwest stock, the most exposed, arguably, to the 737 plane, has barely moved in the last few days. Why is that? Why Southwest also seems so insulated right now?
I think it reflects the idea that everybody believes it's going to work out. There might be higher costs for Boeing. They might have to retrofit planes. They may have to the grounding could go on a long period of time. But in the end, everybody still believes, if you get right down to it, everything will work out over time. Southwest won't have to change their order habits, their order book,
right,
their capacity plans. Southwest won't have a crisis of confidence on the customer side because they will rely on their historic safety record, and they
right.
will point out that the new planes that are grounded are very different in design and operation than the old 737s. So nobody really believes that this will get out of control.
It's hard to talk about the movement of a stock when we're dealing with such an important event here where a lot of people lost their lives. I think we are going to continue to hear many negative things about Boeing, about the FAA. We're going to learn a lot more about how this crash happened, and there's probably going to be lots of blame to go around. What should investors do with that information? I mean, how do you think they will respond in the coming weeks?
You're absolutely right. Investors are going to hear a ton of stuff that they didn't know before. And let me answer it this way. We got a tweet from the president last week that implied that complexity is the new danger.
Right.
That may or may not be true. But what I think investors should think about is what they didn't know often didn't bother them. We're going to hear a ton about FAA aircraft certifications.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear a ton about what the difference is between a derivative aircraft, one that was designed off a prior model.
Like the 737 MAX.
Like the 737 MAX, and an all-new aircraft like the 787.
Right, and why they made the decision to do one versus the other.
Yep, and we're going to hear about why they felt like they needed to bring it to market quickly and the steps that they took to bring it to market and design choices they made. We'll hear about all of this, and we'll all wonder, should they have done it that way? We never used to think about these things before. Those decisions have human consequences, and they're very important. But for the stock, none of it means that the 737 problems won't get fixed.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that the 737 MAX is not going to be produced and sold into the marketplace. The 737 MAX, along with its competitive product from Airbus, these are the most popular planes in the world and the backbone of air travel. They are, like we've been saying, they're too important to go away.
Okay.
And I think that the stock reactions across the sector in the supplier stocks as well indicate that at the bottom of their hearts, all investors sort of realize that it will get fixed over time.
Thanks, Al. Great to have you.
Thank you.
For more of Al Root's stories and all of our coverage on Boeing, head to Barron's.com. This is Alex Yule. The show is produced by Meta Lutzhoff. The Readback will return next Wednesday.